This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Election. Can you believe it? Oh, so close. You can almost touch it. But don't touch anyone when you're in line. Remember, it could be long lines, and we have to have social distancing. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney. Let's start with what will be the first presidential debate coming up on Tuesday. Ooh, I can hardly wait. No handshaking will happen here. There will absolutely be social distancing. There's not going to be any opening statements. It's going to be Chris Wallace, Joe Biden, and President Donald Trump. You can bet this tax situation is going to come up with Donald Trump. If you haven't heard, last year he paid taxes. He did $750. He said that's a bunch of baloney. He's paid a lot of money in taxes. Just look at what he's paid to the state, he says, of New York. So we'll dive further into what the New York Times says and what the president says about that. But it is going to be a question that is going to be asked by Chris Wallace, because he is asked constantly about his taxes, and he says that he's in an audit with the IRS. The coronavirus and the amount of lives lost, what's happening, the vaccine, all of that certainly will be part of that debate as well. And, of course, the economy and where we're headed with the economy, health care, the Supreme Court nominee, and the timing of that, I imagine that could come up, although I think that's fair game. It's on his watch. It might not be something Democrats like, but it is something that it is his prerogative as president to do. So that might not be something that Joe Biden jumps all over. Joe Biden has the chance here, though, to maybe widen the gap or maybe not. It depends on what poll you look at. It seems to me that a lot of the swing states are still in play. I was looking at where Biden was with registered voters. And a new poll came out and says that registered voters favor Biden by 6 points. So this is how this one went. This was Monmouth University out of New Jersey. And it's the latest national poll that I have in my hands. So the slight edge, but it's small. It's smaller than the advantage he held after the Democratic National Convention. Here's the gist of the numbers. 50% of registered voters support Biden, 44% back Trump. 6% are undecided or support a third candidate. Earlier this month, Biden led 51% to 44% among likely voters. So the change could be due to that swing with the independent voters toward Trump, because that's starting to happen in some cases. Monmouth found that Biden had a firm base of support, with 43% of registered voters saying they're certain they will vote for him. 40% of registered voters are firmly for Trump. So what does that tell us? It tells us we don't know. Half the national electorate has been dead set against reelecting the president, but that doesn't mean they have completely gotten behind the challenger, who's Joe Biden, particularly in those swing areas, the competitive places in the country. I think that's what the Monmouth University Polling Institute is telling us. That's what they're telling us. So heading into the debate, that's just a little bit of number mosh for you to think about, right? I mentioned that we know that the tax avoidance thing with Trump is going to be kind of a shakeup ahead of this first debate, because I think the campaign was hoping, because he was hitting it hard, going to a lot of different places, that this wouldn't be anything that would have come up. But this is something I guess the New York Times had been keying in on and working on for a long time. So what do the numbers here say? This is the report from the New York Times. What There, what the report said is that he avoided federal taxes for years. He's racked up $400 million in debt, potentially putting the family-run businesses on shaky ground. Again, this is the New York Times documenting tax avoidance strategies, that kind of thing. And, of course, the president has tried to keep his tax records private, and a report showed that he paid $750 in federal income taxes in 2016 and again in 2017. And those that $750 would be equivalent to what somebody would pay if they were making $20,000. Now, a good tax attorney, businesses, write-offs, all of that, and how you can maneuver in the tax code and with laws makes a big difference on the amount of do re mi you have. I know that because I have two friends who are tax attorneys, and we've talked about this. So there's a whole different ballgame when you're uber wealthy. It is, right? Now, what the president has said, he said it's the fake news media. He said, just like election time in 2016, bringing up my taxes and all sorts of other nonsense with illegally obtained information and bad intent. He said, I paid many millions of dollars in taxes, but was entitled, like everyone else, to depreciation and tax credits. And that's exactly what Aide said, downplaying that report, saying the president used ways to reduce his tax burden. And that's what you do. And that's some use the focus on the personal finances to, I guess, breathe life into the attacks on the business dealings of Biden's son, Hunter. So it's going to be interesting how this comes up. It's tax code. That's what it is. There's no question. And there's no question that it favors super wealthy people. So you make 20 grand, you don't have a lot of properties, you don't own hotels, you don't have television shows. You got to pay your $750, right? $750 for the press is a whole lot different when you can't even survive and you're making $20,000. So here's the thing with this Times deal. Is this going to affect the people, anybody, if you're listening to me? If you're voting for Trump, would this change your mind? And my answer is, I don't think so. I think really pretty much most people, barring some of the independents, they have their mind made up, and that's that. So in the case of taxes, this isn't going to be the thing that would pull somebody off of voting for him. I don't believe that. See, here's the thing. You've got companies, and companies face penalties if you stretch the rules in one direction too far. That's what this could be, and that's what could happen with the IRS. In the article, because I poured through it, it says that the president got a $72.9 million tax refund from the IRS in 2010. He spent the last 9 years battling the IRS over whether the refund was proper. He got the refund because he claimed more than $700 million in losses from a partnership he abandoned in 2009. The partnership that was formed, the basis for the refund, might have been one of the Atlantic City casino businesses. That's what the theory is, but that's a might have been. There is an abandonment provision in the law that allows taxpayers to walk away from a partnership, then claim credit for years' worth of losses from the partnership. But there is like a little bit of a catch in that. So this could be tricky, but regardless, I know this will be something that will come up in the debate. You were curious about the debate, including Big Al, who says, Kate, what do you think this debate's going to be like? I have a feeling it's going to be nothing like the Hill and Trump debates back in 2016. I'll answer that as I head to the mailroom next.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay Heating Wraps and Pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better. better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
About the mail. Can we talk about the mail, please, Mac? I'm dying to talk about the mail with you all day, okay?
Yeah, we're in the mailbag, and we got that question from Big Al about Hill and Trump were pretty entertaining. Don't think it'll be that way with Joe Biden, basically asking me to throw in my two cents. Well, it's 90 minutes. It's in Cleveland. It's the first debate. I think we are hungry for that. I mentioned that because of the coronavirus, some of the things that are being cut, so it's going to be a little bit different. I think there's going to be, there's plenty to talk about at the pandemic, I mentioned that. Social unrest, I didn't throw that in there, but that's huge. The heated Supreme Court battle over the spot left by the death of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And here we are, a little over a month from Election Day, and the president has a 6 or 7 point deficit in some of the polls, like I told you about the Monmouth poll. And then Biden is on the hot seat, I think, to present why he is a better alternative to the current president. That's the deal. So one is defending his turf and one is attacking his turf and putting up reasons why he's the better candidate. I would assume, I don't know. I have a feeling these are guys that I can't imagine couldn't lose their temper at each other. Almost like we would be kind of watching, have a ringside seat to what could be an explosive couple of moments here and there, depending on what comes up. I mean, we've seen Biden get hot under the collar. We've seen the Trump get hot under the collar. So maybe when they're pressed, it'll be telling to see if it turns into a brawl or not. I mean, listen, Biden has been accused of taking performance-enhancing drugs from Trump. And also, Hunter Biden and what's happened with his son. I mean, does anything like that come up? Can you imagine? Those are the things that would set him off, certainly. And the taxes, like I said, the taxes with this tightening up, that's, I can't imagine that there's not going to be anything about the taxes. So I don't know, in the traditional sense of who wins this debate, if Joe Biden gets the foot and mouth disease, I think Trump can take advantage of that. So he would have the edge if that happens. So it could be, there's going to be tension right away. There is. There's going to be tension right away because you don't even have an opening statement. You just have, boom, here's the questions. You get the shots come out and that's it. So how much a cool do each one of them lose, I think, is going to depend on how some of this falls out. And it could just be what I would call a typical political fencing match where Republicans will say Trump did well, and Democrats will say Biden did well. It could it be more contentious than the Hillary Clinton 4 years ago, 4 years ago, their first debate? Yeah, maybe. Because, look, there's she's a woman. There's no woman in this. So there's no... do I have to sort of come back on some of this? Do I? I think it's just going to be guns blazing. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. So if Biden loses it where he stumbles, fumbles, and all that, then Trump will take advantage of that. If not, then it's going to be that dance around it's going to be a dance around the stage is what it's going to be for sure. All right, let's go to Mac. Mac is listening to us in the great state of Nevada. And Mac says, Kate, what's the latest on the numbers for COVID-19? 205,000 deaths in the U.S. There's 7.16 million cases worldwide. Million deaths. Wow. 33.3 million cases. 23.1 million have recovered. The race for that vaccine and getting it going as fast as possible, getting the approval, all that is game on, big time. What's at stake? Lives. Oh, those fancy prizes like the Nobel Prize, playing to the ego of whoever. I mean, but seriously, if you are on the team that comes up with it, that naturally, while the world is in the middle of this pandemic, of course you would be in line for that. All right, let's move to another one. I vowed I was going to go down in the rabbit hole this time around, and we were going to try to get in. I was going to try to get in as many as I could from the mailroom. You can send me your thoughts, Kate at KateRadio.com, anytime. And this is a crowd that does that so much. All right, how about this? Let's go to this one, because this is debate-related. Carla says, Kate, do you like Chris Wallace? Does he ask tough questions? Do you think that he's a good moderator? Yes, yes, yes. I think that he does ask tough questions, and he is on Fox, but he's not pandering to Republicans and to the president or whatever. He'll ask the questions, and that's what he does. Think of the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Mike Wallace, his dad, yes, there's a little bit of difference between them, but Chris Wallace definitely asks tough questions. And he says he wants to be invisible. He wants to ask the questions and get out of the way. That's a good moderator because he wants to let that go. He wants to let them talk. He doesn't want to be in the middle of all that. Poof. You know, that's it. All right, let's move on to another one. This one is from Hal, and I'm taking this one because Hal is saying, I don't understand, Kate, what happened to Pascali, the guy who was running the campaign of the president, was part of the campaign team. What was the nonsense with him being drunk and slapped down on the ground by the cops and, I don't know, threatening his wife, threatening suicide? Yeah, what they're just saying out of the White House is they wish him the best and they're going to wait to see how it all unfolds. But what happened was, I guess, she called 911 and it was shocking. There was a dash cam video showing officers knocking this shirtless, barefoot guy, which was Brad Pascali, to the ground outside of his house and detaining him in Fort Lauderdale. I mean, it was an urgent call to the police. They came with SWAT team, fully ready for whatever was going to happen. I guess he was drinking, had weapons. His wife says she was worried. He's threatening suicide. 10 firearms in his house, pistols, a shotgun, a rifle, and of course, he's detained for mental health evaluation. And they were arguing. He had a round, I guess, in a pistol during the heated debate, you know, between them, what they were arguing about, what happened, blah, blah, blah. You know, you could just hear that she had called the dispatcher and said he was going to kill himself and all of that. So that's what she was trying to stop. And I guess she told the police who had come that he had been stressed out over the past 2 weeks and made comments about shooting himself, she said he drinks, he suffers from PTSD. So it's a sad story. It's a sad story, and the pressure of doing what he was doing with this campaign, it boggles your mind. Like, well, why would he be in that spot with the kind of influence, but also the kind of pressure you would have in a campaign situation? So anyway, that's exactly what happened. It's exactly what happened. I mean, he was in charge of digital operations for the 2016 campaign. He worked with Jared Kushner, and he was elevated to a campaign manager for the 2020 re-election. I can't imagine that somebody else isn't going to come in after this, because I don't think he would be coming back based on the things that happened, happened there. And he's really kind of now the ex-campaign manager anyway. So the body cam footage showed someone who was very, very, very distressed. Absolutely. All right, we get time for one more. What can we do? All right, how about this? This one was pointed out to me by Shelley, who said, Kate, did you see the study on narcissism and what the study found out? I think it was out of somewhere in Pennsylvania. Well, I saw it because you pointed it out to me, so thanks for that. And it's this, there is a new study about narcissism, and it says that narcissistic people tend to take a more active role in politics. Their views don't necessarily put the country's interests first. And it's just a personality trait where it combines selfishness and entitlement and admiration, the need for admiration, and, you know, that kind of thing. And this is from Penn State. They did a study on that, researchers did, and they dove deep into narcissism to find out the behaviors and what it's like and how it rears its head in a democracy and how so many broadcast their politics that way. All right. So hang with us. I'll meet you on the other side. Wildfires, boy, they never stop. The latest there.
If you or a loved one is a survivor of abuse by Boy Scouts of America representatives as far back as the 1970s, we urge you to speak up. We'll stand with you and get you the help and financial compensation you deserve. A jury in Portland, for example, awarded $18.5 million in punitive damages in one Boy Scout sexual abuse case. The Boy Scouts of America filed for bankruptcy, and funds have been set aside to compensate those injured. Time is limited, and so are the funds. Call today. Don't wait. For free information on how to file your claim, call All Survivors Advocates right now. We have a long track record in helping our clients get the legal justice and compensation they deserve. Please, we are ready to help you. Call today.
800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. That's 800-364-2984.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
U.S. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
A major hospital chain has now been hit by what appears to be the largest medical cyber attack in U.S. history. Computer systems for the Universal Health Services, which has more than 400 locations primarily in the United States, begin to fail over the weekend, and some hospitals have had to resort to filing patient information with pen and paper. United Health Services posted a statement to its website that its company-wide network is currently offline due to IT security issues. They also said that the attack looks and smells like ransomware. Hackers seeking to deploy ransomware often wait till the weekend when a company is likely to not have as many technical staff members present. And employees at Universal Health Services said the attack hit over the weekend and as computers slowed and then eventually shut down. Customer data may have been breached. This is USA Radio News. Prayer filled the air at a rally in D.C., and USA's Chris Barnes has more.
Around 60,000 people prayed on the National Mall as part of the 2020 Prayer March led by the Reverend Franklin Graham. He says he organized the rally to try to heal America, saying people are divided amid feelings of fear and uncertainty. Also on hand and addressing the crowd was Vice President Mike Pence. He offered prayers for those who have suffered through or died from the COVID-19 virus. He also wanted to remember those who are on the front lines of fighting it.
Pray for our doctors and nurses and all of those that are bringing America through this challenging time.
For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
President Trump announced Judge Amy Coney Barrett as his nominee for the Supreme Court seat left vacant by Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg's death last week. Senate Judiciary Chair Lindsey Graham announced the confirmation hearings would begin on October 12th. This is USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veterans. Nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Yeah, that's an awful sound, isn't it? Terrible sound. Northern California, boy, we feel you. Some people listening to us in Northern California, of course. The North Bay wildfire tripling in size, forcing the evacuation of Calistoga, for example. And, boy, if you've never been there, sad, because you're going to, if you decide you're going to go there, and I would put it on a bucket list, so many of these acres will be burned across Napa and Sonoma County. The fire is 0% contained. CAL FIRE is saying 113 structures have been destroyed, too damaged. It's supposed to grow because they're seeing this. That's what's happening. They can't get it. So they've got evac routes. They're posting them everywhere. Route 29, south and north, and 128. To some of you, this means nothing. But I lived up in that area, and I know that area. And boy, oh boy, when they tell you to evacuate now, you just evacuate. 68,000 people have had to leave because of the fire. And the idea is get it out there, get the news out there, boom, 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 you know, and that's the name of the game. I mean, Sonoma and Napa, it's terrible. I mean, you're seeing the planes fly overhead. They're dropping the retardant that's supposed to help, and you see it then on the houses. And that, if that's the worst thing that happens to you, that's pretty good. But unfortunately, the fires jump and the fires burn, and then they move to the other side. You know, it's threat to life, property, animals, the whole thing. I think when you get an evac warning, it means you got to be ready to roll. You do. The wine country has been scarred by so many fires in the last couple of years. You think of the Tubbs Fire. I even remember it, like right off the top of my head, Tubbs Fire. And that killed 22 people. And that ripped up 5,600 houses, something like that. And it's just, here we go again. Here we go again. Here we go again. Here we go again. And when they jump highways, which is what happened with one of the fires, that's what scares me. And so in the area, there was this 40-year-old winery, Chateau Boswell Winery, and the Black Rock Inn, which is really popular. There's 64 wineries in the area, to give you an idea. So, boom, they're gone. And, you know, you got the winds that are being whipped around in different directions, and that doesn't help. So it's pretty tough. I mean, 50-mile-an-hour winds, yeah. The good news, if you're looking for a silver lining for those people and for anyone listening to me to keep this in mind, is the better information system you have. There's a good thing about social media. As much as social media is the devil in so many ways, here's where it's helpful. Tweet, tweet, tweet. And that's what the sheriff's departments do and the police departments do. And they tell you, this road's closed. This is happening right now. Here's where it's contained. And it's the fastest way to get that info out. And that's exactly where you go. Because when they erupt and when they move, that's exactly where you find the info. So you've got those fires happening. And then in Los Angeles, they're still dealing with fires. Same thing. You know, some of them are more contained, but there still are some that are going on. You know, it's interesting when you look at the Bobcat fire, one of the largest wildfires on record, burning in Los Angeles County. And NASA released some pictures of what it looked like from space. Oh, depleted. I mean, that's the word that immediately came up, the one where just depleted. And it's scorched now at this point, 114,000 acres. And this started September 6th, and it's just gotten bigger in size, burned through the Angeles National Forest. It's now 62% contained, so that's good. They had a red flag warning because of the conditions, the gusty winds, the low humidity, all of that. And there still is just this tremendous amount of smoke that has choked L.A. I mean, the air quality, the worst. The worst. And you had neighborhoods that were burned, and they kind of weaved in different directions. But, yeah, I mean, now 70 large wildfires burning across the West. That's your fire update. 70. That new one that broke out that I was talking about, Napa County. The evacuations, the homes, people going to the hospital. Just bigger, awful. The glass fire, which burned that Silverado Trail in St. Helena, California. It's just an inferno of trees. That's what it looked like. And looking at that, I thought, boy, anybody who's there, they're not going anywhere. There's just no way. You're not getting out of that spot. So I think that this is a lesson to all of us. And I've said this before. I used to, you know, blow off that whole idea of, I don't need a go bag. What are you talking about? I'm ready to roll right now. No. I've changed my tune in the past couple of years, and I am ready to roll. What do I have to do? What's happening? What natural disaster is befalling my neighborhood or my area, and what do we need to do, and where do we need to go? And that's the thing with the fires. Where are they evacuating to? What are they doing? And sometimes when Mother Nature is done with you, she's not done with you, right? So Pensacola, Florida, they got oil that washed up about 5-mile stretch of a beach on a key there. And this is 2 weeks after Hurricane Sally. So it's kind of unclear to them as they investigated it, the Coast Guard looking at it, if the submerged oil is from the 2010 spill that was stirred up from Hurricane Sally, or it's another source. I mean, they're trying to figure out what it is. They're trying to just get it cleaned up. I mean, that's number one. But where did this come from? So it's still unclear on how much. Because, you know, you go back to the 2010, what do you go back to? Do-do-do. If we were playing a game of current events, current affairs, whatever, Deepwater Horizon oil spill. If you re-racked this show, it was like The Watch every single day I came on. Here's what's happening, here's what's happening. Just give you the update, give you an update on that. Mm-hmm. And it was bad. And now that could be some of that that got unpacked, I guess is the way it was explained to me. Unpacked. Never ends. Orange Beach, Alabama, Florida. As they were dealing with the effects of that hurricane. Right? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You can bet on our next show. We're going to be focusing a lot on what was said in the debates, what happened, you know, what are the handicappers saying, people who are consistently on top of debates. I mean, that's what they do for a living. So we'll get their take. I'll get your take. I'll give you my take on it. And there's no way to know, right? There's no way to know that would a debate, and I see, I don't know that it necessarily does, but would a debate swing someone's vote? If somehow somebody comes out and they just have this incredible debate performance, because I'm going to call it a performance, and whatever it is, talking about the economy, talking about COVID-19, talking about anything in between that we're dealing with in the United States, if somebody comes out with a big enough hammer, they sound brilliant, would that sway opinions? I'm still not so sure that that would happen. Because watching the debate is just kind of could be watching a train wreck unfold, could be watching and listening for something you didn't know before, could be cheering. I don't know. You know, I do think that there are people that there are a handful, but they're the mostly independents who haven't decided. But I don't think as many undecided people are out there. They might be saying they're undecided, but it doesn't seem like that to me, based on any of the conversations that I've had. So now you got the Supreme Court nominee, Amy Coney Barrett, and the conversation of her, oh, too fast, and then her record, and what's going to happen in the Senate, and it's pretty obvious that numbers are there. I can't imagine that this nomination stopped. But it's a question of, does the nomination go through faster than we've ever seen before an election day? Or would it be, you know, does it not happen until later? Because a president would still be in office. This president would be in office no matter what until January, mid-January. And if it's another term, well, that just continues. I think this could be the fastest Supreme Court confirmation that we've seen. Democrats could put up a fight. You could put up a fight about timing. But in the books, it is there. In the books, it is definitely legal to do what's being done. Some people keep pointing to that legality. Well, anything I can find, it's completely legal. Is it legal to celebrate and actually hug when you win the Stanley Cup? I got to throw this in because we didn't do a man cave segment this time around, but the Tampa Bay Lightning won the Stanley Cup. They beat the Dallas Stars in 6 games in Edmonton. They had their own little bubble going on. And that is another big win for them. The Dallas Stars hadn't been in that territory in a long time. They had a double overtime game the other day. That made it interesting, but they couldn't get it going on Monday. So the time just ticked off the clock. Tampa Bay threw their gloves in the air. They streamed onto the ice. And there you go. An unlikely season got pulled off. And the Lightning win the cup 2-0. Yep. Another victory for them. Will they have a parade? I don't know. Could you social distance at a parade in Tampa? What's her story? We're going to tell you about a woman who published under a man's name very successfully a long time ago, but they're still talking about her books. That's next.
Oh.
coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Are you ready for what's next? It's likely coming. More food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not, but you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your four-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. Starvation or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. There's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot Preparedness Company. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Evans wrote some of the greatest novels of the mid to late 19th century, published under her pen name of George Eliot, in part to make it more widely accepted. Bucking social norms, she also worked as a professional writer and edited the Westminster Review, all the while writing under her pen name. With 7 acclaimed novels in 24 years, including Middlemarch, 20th century writer Virginia Woolf called Middlemarch one of the few English novels written for grown-up people. In 2007, an author's poll voted the book as the 10th greatest literary work ever written. I'm Kate Delaney, and that's her story. All right, so how about that? There have been a lot of female writers who have adopted male nom de plumes or sort of gender-ambiguous pseudonyms. Kate Delaney, as we roll through our final segment here, you just heard about Marianne, who was wildly accepted as a great writer, and I'm going to give you some more. So I want you to think about these women authors. Louisa May Alcott, you know, her Little Women, to J.K. Rowling, wrote under male pseudonyms and have reasons why they, you know, why they did it, because they wanted people to read their books, right? So here's the thing. Louisa May Alcott, who wrote Little Women, She was published, that was published under her name, but she used an ambiguous nom de plume. I love that word, nom de plume. It just means you're writing under a different name. A.M. Barnard. Yep, and wrote these gothic thrillers. And they were pretty successful, sold pretty well. So while Marianne Evans was, Marianne Evans, that's her name, had the pseudonym George Eliot, that helped her. They thought that having a male alias would discourage, you know, female stereotyping. So Middlemarch, one of the greatest novels ever written, was written by her under that other name. So I was thinking, wonder what would my nom de plume be that was ambiguous? Just use your initials, right? Keith Delaney. Right, I don't know. But then Keith Delaney, I don't know, publishing Invade the Man Cave, I don't know that would work quite as well. J.K. Rowling, though, that was good because people didn't know J.K. Rowling. Her publisher, Barry Cunningham, thought Harry Potter's target young male audience could be put off with a book written by a woman. So then in 2013... because J.K. Rowling, you don't know who she is till then, she became super famous. Then she published a crime mystery, and it was called The Cuckoo's Calling. Her pseudonym then was Robert Galbraith. And then there was massive criticism for that. A lot of people thought that was terrible. Like, why would she have a nom de plume? But anyway, I don't know, the days of nom de plumes for women thinking they sell more books as a man, I don't know that they're dead, because it's about marketing. So if it's strictly about marketing and you think more, it would be more widely accepted, it could just be that it's ambiguous. I think it would be more likely that it would be ambiguous and then you couldn't tell who wrote the book. All right, so that's her story. I thought that was pretty interesting stuff. The interesting thing or subject of the day that's fascinating is we people are just a little over a month out of an election. And we got Trump and Biden getting ready for their first debate. Chris Wallace hosted. I talked about this earlier in this hour. On Fox, there couldn't be someone who couldn't be a more, I think, probing kind of, you know, kind of guy, certainly reporting-wise and anchoring-wise. He's going to throw the questions out and try to get out of the way, but he's perfect for this. And what will happen in the debate? I mean, the things that are going to come up, the paying the $750 in income taxes in 2016 and 2017, guarantee that's going to be part of it. What is going to happen as far as the pandemic, the handling of the pandemic, the economy, that's going to be part of it. You know, people are waiting for this second stimulus. People are losing jobs. I'm going to give you an example. I safely social distancing. I have the Neff who's visiting and working with me for a couple of months, and he likes magic and illusions. So there is a museum of illusions in Dallas, and they are incredible about social distancing, being safe, everything. I mean, it just was amazing. I felt like I was walking in a bubble and felt very safe, and there was hardly anyone there. You have to get tickets ahead of time, that whole thing. So we went to the Museum of Illusions, and afterwards, there was a patio. This was one of the first times for me. Went on a patio and had something to eat. And we talked to the waiter, and he said, I said, how's it going? It seems like, you know, everybody's spaced out. I feel safe. It's, you know, social distancing, masks, and the whole thing. And he said, oh, well, we had 17 people on staff. Now we're down to 3. And if you're a waiter, you are bussing all your own dishes, doing the whole thing. I mean, because we have to, because we're not making enough. And they were in the heart of what would be kind of the entertainment district in our fifth biggest city. And normally they would make 200,000. They would bring in about 200,000 a month. He said they were bringing in 40,000 if they were lucky. So that's why so many people had to be let go. So you can bet this has affected a lot of people. Restaurant business, we know that. Anything in hospitality, travel, so many businesses affected. And the economy and the reaction of COVID, what's happened with that is going to be part of, I'm sure that's part of this debate. And it depends on what poll you look at, how wide the gap is between Biden and Trump. You have Real Clear Politics in 538, and they're watching how the race is shifting. And they're seeing what's going on with the key swing states, and then looking at how some of the, even the Senate races, how some of them are tightening. So the president is now going to have to reel back from some more damaging news about the taxes, deflecting it, the whole thing about the Times and all of that. But the coronavirus, the deaths surpassed well over 200,000. And then now also the Supreme Court justice. But I don't see where there's a big attack on Amy Coney Barrett. Just purely looking at the, she's conservative. There's no question about that. But her rulings, the accolades, the, you know, the clerkship with Scalia, I don't, the personal attacks, I can't imagine very many at all on her. But how does it affect the way somebody views the Supreme Court, the action, getting it through, that whole thing? And if you look at the national average, you know, you're looking at Biden 6 or 7 points, according to 538 and according to Real Clear Politics. And they call all the polls that are out there, no matter how they slant, to try to come up with that rolling average. So I like that. And that's a small number. That's not a huge, to me, that's not a huge gap. If I were a Democratic strategist, I would be concerned. I wouldn't think that there was any kind of coast in the middle of this, you know, whatsoever, because there's not, I wouldn't say there's a commanding lead, and that's the thing that they'd be looking for. What's interesting is some of these Senate races, because we don't usually talk about those, but I know there's people listening to us in Maine, and veteran Republican Senator Susan Collins, who I think lost some fans with the whole Brett Kavanaugh thing, and then gained a few too, is in a tight contest with the Democratic challenger there, really tight. I mean, we're talking about like 3 points according to what the polls are there. So while some are blowing out their opponents, others are finding that it's gotten a lot tighter. In Arizona, polls are showing that the former astronaut Mark Kelly has a big lead over the Republican Senator Martha McSally, but now that race has tightened to a dead heat in the latest poll that I saw. So they are, I mean, that's like 1 point separating them. So that is going to be one to watch. And Mark Kelly, of course, has that experience and has the whole astronaut thing behind him and et cetera, and a well-known name. But Martha McSally has some fans too. So that, like I said, is going to be one to watch. Thanks to all of you for listening to this hour of the show. Got to hand it to Nate Reeder, technical maestro. Fabulous job. We're all in this together. Remember that, folks.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Pouty Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells, everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs, so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A 1 pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.